Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "I like the silent church before the service begins better than any preaching. The empty space, the light shining on blank walls, the flowers blooming in the chancel as if only for themselves. I like the empty church too, usually. And it is beautiful in this place today. But I do not like the silence, and I wish your voices filled this space instead of only mine. But community happens in many ways. And today, and for the near term, we are called to take care of each other in community in different ways. We're called to show up for each other and among each other as much by our non-presence in this place, which is made sacred by everything we bring to it. Welcome, friends, to this congregation which reaches beyond the walls that we build and sustain together. Welcome to this time and to every single thing we will share together in the coming weeks. Welcome to the blessing of community, expressed in unprecedented ways in the midst of these our unprecedented times. You know, as we do every Sunday, we set aside time for the sharing of our joys and our concerns, that which brings us to laughter and brings us to tears. And you might, if you have the chance, choose to pause this video right about now. Find a candle if you have one laying around, or a nice warm light bulb, whatever you've got, just in case you would like to illuminate one small light for that which you hold in your heart even now. In the midst of so much, the global pandemic that impacts us all, we hold in our hearts all the school kids and families, the vulnerable seniors, including us and our best beloveds. We hold the ones who are healthy and the ones who are sick, and all of us whose financial futures are uncertain in the turmoil of these days. We hold all of us eager to help in any way we can. And most of all, we hold one another and for the preciousness of each of our lives. Today in particular, in this time of joy and of sorrow, we honor the life of longtime River Roader Byron Spice, who died peacefully on Wednesday morning at 94 years of age. He'd been a chair of the River Road Board in 1983, active in youth ministry and faithful to this tradition for so much of his long life. We also most deeply today hold in our hearts our beloved Brad Patterson, a founding member of this, our precious community, one whose commitment to this place traces all the way back to 1959. Brad turned 98 this year, and after a fall in his home last week and a time this week in suburban hospital, he is entering hospice care even as we speak. He and his family are in the vigil now, and we are grateful for all that his long life means to our congregation and to every single one of us. Let's take a few moments of silence to hold what rests in our hearts and the love of all these precious ones before us all. My friends, it would not be church without the reading of the sacred announcements. And indeed, you know most of what there is to share. Since the large majority of our on-site congregational programs have been canceled and postponed for the time being, we invite you please to stay informed. Check your email, check the website, check our social media feeds for updates on all of our evolving online ministries together. These programs will move and be developed quickly, and we hope that you can take the chance to connect as much as possible with your congregation, your ministers, and your friends right here at River Road. Youth and children's programming is happening online throughout the whole week. Beautiful original music from Cliff Harden and the choir is being shared in audio form for you to listen to as many darn times as you need to. And online platforms are available for small groups and for committee meetings that you can access just by reaching out to us at office@rruuc.org. Importantly, the closure of our building does not stop the need for so many in our community to reach out for care and assistance. Shelter Week, which is coordinated by Mary Beth Bowen, is still happening. It'll continue with drop-offs of food right here at the River Road Kitchen and a non-contact drop-off of full supplies at the shelter so that those folks who depend on us will have food this week. You can find out more details in your e-weekly, and additionally, our amazing community minister, Reverend Karen Rasmussen, is hard at work creating a food raiser for area school children impacted by school closures. Families need our help, and details on that program will be coming out soon. And importantly, we need one another. We need one another now more than ever. So starting next week, we'll be dividing out our members, our friends, and our active participants into zip code clusters for phone and email check-ins with each other in a new thing we are calling the Community Care Program. This ministry will be shared among us all, and neighborhood captains will be invited to remotely check in on people in their zip code. So if you get a call from a River Roader in the next week, know that it is just us reaching out with love. Reach back if you can. Connections make all the difference. And if you don't get a call, reach out directly to me or to pastoralcare@rruuc.org. We will connect you and we will connect us all in the midst of so much. Finally, and I swear I'm gonna get to the preaching sooner or later, truly, this place cannot do what we do, not any of it, without the support of our annual fund drive and yes, your pledges. As a lead steward, David Ward is here to speak briefly to the opportunities you have to give to the life of this, your congregation, especially in these times.
Hi. Amid all the bad news, I have some good news. Social scientists have finally discovered that money can buy happiness, but only if you give it away. They say it's a sociological fact that giving your money to others is statistically associated with greater happiness for you. Who knew? Well, Bette Glover and I know ever since Nancy married us 4 years ago. And you welcomed us into your community here at River Road. And over time, we've learned your secret. We get what you get. And what we all get, even when we can't get together, is community. Our own version of the interdependent connections that hold us and the universe together. Even when, as Yeats said, things fall apart. Well, especially when things fall apart. And that's why every spring we make what we call a pledge to the rest of us, each other, to support our community. Our pledge to our congregation is a promise, a vow, a guarantee, a covenant that we will honor the connections between each other as we share our time, our presence, and our treasure with this community. So let's please honor ourselves, yourselves, by making a generous pledge to our community, even as we wait to gather again at River Road. Thank you.
So one thing you might not know about my strange and wonderful family is that we are absolutely thick with ministers in my clan. My mother-in-law, in fact, is a clergy person who serves a congregation on Cape Cod, and she recently published in the Cape Cod Times an article whose basic premise I can't quite get out of my head, which she called quid pro quo or pro bono. In that little piece of writing, she talks about the theologian Dorothy Butler Bass, who identifies, of course, that our culture is essentially obsessed in these last months with quid pro quo, the idea of something for something, of every act in society and in interaction with each other as an exchange of something given and something received. And she calls us to imagine if we might be called to the exact opposite expression of interaction. In Latin, the opposite of quid pro quo, something for something, is a word so many of you lawyers out there know all too well, pro bono, which means essentially for the good. Not just for free, but for the good, for the greater good, for the good of all, and not for the gratification of a few. For no reason at all, except that it is the right thing to do, because there is nothing to gain, and everything, including our souls, to lose. For the good of the whole, for the sake of each other, and the lives most vulnerable, we have to ask in these times if we are called and capable of living in a different way than the quid pro quo world all around us. To do what we do, not because we have anything at all to gain, but because the doing of it is a ministry to the whole. And because society actually holds itself together from the bottom up, even when the hierarchy from the top down all falls apart. Today, so often in the systems all around us, being human is equated with being a dot on the map, a metric on someone's spreadsheet, a consumer, a user of goods and services, a contributor to a larger scheme of exchange in which every single soul is measured by a contribution to a system so much larger than itself, it can feel impossible to impact that system at all. There is so much that I want to say to all of you today. I want to tell you to breathe deeply. I want to tell you to ground yourselves in the present moment, knowing that this present moment will pass and that something new does beckon in the future. I want to remind you that you can at any given moment just take the chance to check in with your own heart, with the space you are in, to perceive with all five of your senses and slow down and say, "Here I am. I am okay. We will make it through." I want to tell you to remember who you are and what you yearn for and what holds you, because absolutely none of that changes, even when the whole world is a big unimaginable mess. I even want to give you 10 strategies for managing your anxiety, all of which would begin by recognizing and naming that anxiety without judging yourself for it first. And perhaps there will be time for that. After all, there is always another Sunday coming. But at least for now, I want to start, most of all, by telling you, perhaps telling you over and over again, that you are more than what a global system of exchange and transmission would have you believe. You are more than a number on a page, or a statistic on a chart, or a consumer marked by falling indexes. You are more than an economic unit, or a confirmed or unconfirmed case of a disease that is outside of your control. You are more than a unit in anyone's metric of exchange. And we cannot thrive if we believe ourselves to be powerless pawns in a larger game of give and take amongst forces so much greater than ourselves. As Wordsworth said, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. And in doing so, we lose touch not only with who we are, but with what actually makes us happy. We are drained of our ability to shift the system around us when we fall victim to a sense that the system does not include us in any significant way, but only happens to us while we meekly wait. And beneath it all, beneath all of this perceived powerlessness, we have the ability to define ourselves, our beautiful and complex natures, to define ourselves in nuanced ways that beat back the desolation that we cannot afford to take root in our hearts right now. The world needs us too much today for us to believe that we are powerless before these forces. And in fact, this moment in time is a reminder that we are all quite capable of acting for the greater good, for the good, even when we are under great stress, and even when we do not know the immediate gain of any of the risks we might be asked to take. Gabrielle, she reminded me this week that she forwarded me a tweet that came across her feed that pulls up some of these themes. It reads, and forgive me, I don't even know who tweeted this tweet. It reads, "I imagine that all the closures and cancellations give people a sense of ominousness, but it's really an amazing act of social solidarity we're doing. We're sacrificing so that we can give nurses, doctors, and hospitals a fighting chance. Start from there, and we can figure out the rest. For the good, for the fighting chance, to start there. Not with the looming ominous reality, but the small act of agency. For the good, we are doing what we can. Because we do have agency, we are more powerful than we know. To pull right out of Unitarian Universalist theology, we human beings are beautiful and complex creatures. You know, of course, the Universalists used to be called the no-hellers. There were people who straight up did not believe in hell, and by extension, many of them were people who questioned the whole idea that anybody could be born inherently evil at all. And so to our theological ancestors, human beings were not born innocent or guilty, neither good nor evil, neither powerful or without power, but inherently capable of choosing. To put it simply, our theological heritage teaches us that human beings are pure and unmitigated potential. We are possibility given form and shape. We are the choosers who shape the systems around us, yes, even when those systems are spinning out of control. And so the defining characteristic of what it means to be human, it is not our usefulness to somebody else's grand design. It is not something that happens way above our heads that is preordained and has us caught up in its grip. Rather, what makes us human is our ability to shift anyone's grand design over top of our heads, even just a little bit, from the bottom up, shifting from the world as it is with its currencies of power toward the world as it should be, with a currency of love that demands nothing in return, not even when we are the most afraid. We are pure possibility. We are the choosers of what the world will be. We are the ones who build the systems and shape them and sometimes topple them. We are more than the sum of our parts, and some might say in our own flawed and finite way, each and every one of us is a full-out miracle. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal." Indeed, every single one of us, all 7.5 billion or something of us, is a complex mess of love stories and power struggles and deep yearnings and hope and fear and above all possibility. Human nature is not only more than inherently good or inherently bad, it's more than broken or blessed. It is more than the units which others will try to reduce us to. You are more than the sum of every part, and so am I, and so is every single person that you pass by on the street with 6 feet of safe and appropriate distance between you, of course. Behind that mask they are wearing, and perhaps because of it, every single one of your neighbors is a miracle. You are possibility and beauty and anxiety and hope, all wrapped up and presented to the world, ready to shape it into everything you dream it could be. You are the poetry that survives even in spite of an empire of oppression. You are the love that is bigger than anybody's unit of exchange. You are the intentional power that works within the system so that you can change it and we can change it together. You are no mere mortal, nor does the map or line on a chart define you. You are a force of nature in and of yourself, always more than the sums of you the world might tally. And in that spirit, you are blessed. Yes, even now, you are blessed, and I am blessed, and we all are blessed. We do what we do pro bono for the good and not for any other reason. Pro bono from the heart, because very little else is guaranteed. In that free and unforced blessing, we hold each other with love. And I close today with a reading that is helping me get through. A blessing for us all, freely given and freely received, from my colleague Lee Allison Paxula. Blessed are the elderly and the immunosuppressed. Blessed are the fearful, the anxious and irritable. Blessed are the ones who use humor to get by, the ones who could use a vacation even before this started. Blessed are the ones who fear for their lives. Blessed are the ones who are sick of it. All the flawed logic, the security theater. Blessed are the ones who cry out, "This is why we need a safety net, a kinder society, a whole new world." Blessed are the healthcare workers, the administrators catching heat for every decision, the messengers with no power over the message. Blessed are the sad and the lonely. Blessed are the healthy and the sick, the well and the unwell. Blessed are all of us just trying to do our best. Blessed are those who stay kind and clear, who keep our eyes open to each other. Blessed is our neighbor. Blessed are we all. Blessed are we all. Blessed are we all. And so as we hold this light we have kindled in our hearts and shine it out in every way we can to the world, may the truth that makes us free, the love that casts out fear, and the hope that never dies guide us and those we love and those we do not love forward together. till the day spring breaks and the shadows flee away. Amen.